Hello to all our listeners. We are today focusing on the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we'll begin with the entrance antiphon for that day. And it's a very short one. As for me, in justice, I shall behold your face. I shall be filled with the vision of your glory. So as for me, in justice, I shall behold your face. I shall be filled with the vision of your glory. So focusing us very much on our God. And today we have a set of readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And my name, Kate Cairns. I have the pleasure of hosting in Father John O'Connor's absence. I'm a business academic, so this is a bit of a lean in for me to focus on scripture. But I do have some others with me. Margaret, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hi. So I'm Margaret Bearsley. I am in Holy Trinity Parish in Wellington's eastern suburbs. So I've been here for about 15 years. And in my day job, I'm also in business. So I work for Anglican Financial Care, which manages the pension fund for the Anglican clergy in the province of Aotearoa, New Zealand and Polynesia. And we also manage the Christian KiwiSaver scheme, advertorial. It's open to all practicing Christians in New Zealand.
Oh, interesting. And you know Maya, who's also with us. Maya.
Yeah, kia ora. Magandang araw. I'm Maya. I'm a Filipino Kiwi based in Wellington. I currently work with the Archdiocese of Wellington as the formator and manager of Launch Out. Launch Out is a formation program for lay leaders and ministers, where Margaret is currently one of our candidates.
Great. So we've got a set of readings in front of us, and I wonder what struck each of you when you looked at this set of readings.
Yeah, so for me, I felt like there's kind of an overall theme, although I hadn't reflected on the entrance antiphon, but the overall theme seemed to me to be kind of that verse from Psalm 95, which isn't the psalm for today, but it has the line, "Oh, that today you would listen to his voice, harden not your hearts." So I feel that's kind of running through the whole of the readings of the Mass.
I like the gospel because it is that gospel passage where Jesus gives a directive on how it is to be a disciple. And then there are two insights that you probably need to cut that part. There are two insights that really struck me. One is travel light, when he said he instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. And then in discipleship also, number two, you can't win them all. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet.
Yes, I focused on the gospel too, Maya, and it's probably the easiest place to start, isn't it? So Jesus summoning the 12 and beginning to send them out two by two. Always nice to go out with someone, I think, and to not be alone. But sometimes we are alone when we're trying to support others. So he's given them authority over unclean spirits. And this taking nothing for the journey, this traveling light. So you can take a walking stick, but don't take any food, any sack or for us, a suitcase or bag or car full of stuff. No money in your belts, but you wear your sandals, he said, but don't take a second tunic. So this idea of traveling light, but certainly about being on the move, not staying in one place as part of your mission and not getting stuck, I guess. And he tells them, as Maya's pointed out, that if you enter a house, you can stay there as long as you're being welcomed. But if you not being welcomed or listened to, then it's time to do to leave and shake the dust off your feet. Now, Margaret, you've probably got some insights into this whole idea of shaking the dust off your feet.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary, actually, that you mentioned that, because it was that verse 11, that jumped out at me right from when I first started preparing for today, you know, like at least a week ago. And I've been thinking about it a lot, but there's really a very personal reason why. You know, if you've never actually done it, if you've never actually stopped and shaken the dust off your feet, you ought to try it, because it's pretty powerful. So I don't know if you realize it, but you can't actually shake the dust off your feet, right? Like, dust clings to your skin. So what you have to do is take your shoes off, and then you slap them together, sole to sole, and the dust puffs up. Of course, in Jesus' day, it would have been sandals, but that would have, you know, made just as satisfying a sound. And then you put your shoes back on and you stomp off indignantly. So I actually did this, and I was taken right back to that experience when I read that line. So it was about 15 years ago, and I'd been at a place that, you know, kind of awful memories of that place, and was stuck there for a few years. And so for leaving it on the last day, I literally took my shoes off and slapped them together so that nothing of that place would be clinging to me. And then I put my shoes back on and I drove off, never to return. And so to me, it's such a powerful symbol of leaving a place, never to return. It's like an irrevocable split, I think. And so I've been reflecting on, what does this say about Jesus? Like, this isn't, you know, hippie Jesus who's chill and loves everybody and probably plays with kittens. This is a little bit dangerous Jesus, I think. And so we have to take him very seriously. And I think that sometimes we're supposed to be a little bit dangerous. That's what that says to me.
Interestingly, I think it's to do, again, back with this, you know, traveling light, so that you can move on, but also to not, in this context of evangelization, not, you know, to give it a go with people. But if you're not getting a great reception after you've really tried, then to read the signals and go on and still keep trying to evangelize others, if that's, you know, the particular mission you're on, or do the right thing by others, because, you know, we're a big world and we need to sow the seeds where we think they're going to grow. And so to me, sometimes it's very sad when you, you know, need to see a friendship perhaps, you know, not be nurtured to the extent you'd like to be able to do it, but the other person's rejecting you. And I've had that happen very, very little in my life, but I have had it happen once. And to be able to move forward and not hold on to so much of that bitterness by, you know, very rare in life that you have clean breaks. Obviously, you can remember one too, Margaret, and I don't think this particular personal one for me would ever be a completely clean break. But it's kind of like, read the signals. And I had a friend just last week talking about somebody who, you know, she wasn't coping with well in her life, and she was becoming embittered by, and it was a friendship that she didn't have to have this person in close. And funny thing, there was something that this person had given her that had broken, and she was trying to get it fixed. And I said to her today, I've just read this reading. Maybe you're not supposed to get it fixed and be reminded of this person every time you see this thing. She said, oh, absolutely. I'm going to shake the dust off my sandals with it. You know, in the modern vernacular, sometimes people say, wash your hands of something. But it's not to do it out of bitterness. It's to do it, I think, in a way that you move on to continue to sow good seed where you can, rather than, keep sowing seed on barren ground.
What I pick up from your share, from both your sharing, would be the letting go, the need to let go as part of traveling light. Because if we carry every baggage we accumulate along the way, we wouldn't be too agile to respond to the needs of the people or listen to where the Holy Spirit is leading us. In my personal life, like my old life, I was an academic for 26 years until I was shoulder tapped by the diocese to lead Launch Out. Now, I am still in that situation of I'm still trying to let go of old frameworks of doing things, of achieving something, old indicators of success, just to be able to do this job, not just well, but make it life-giving for me. And that's what I picked up when I read the reading, Travel Light. Just bring a walking stick, no food, no snack, no money, nor money in their belts or everything. And my brain keeps coming back to my sense of security, where I have succeeded, where what worked well in my past. But every now and again, God has delivered me and showed me a different way of doing things. And it has a lot to do with letting go and letting God be God in my life. So when I heard that Margaret, the first, that what came out for her is Psalm, sorry, do not harden not your hearts. Exactly. But although
Certainly
if you
didn't
say
know of
you kind of
bitterness.
shrug the dust off your, it seems like a hardened heart, but I think Jesus here is referring to a different kind of letting go. Why do you have to shake the dust of the feet of people who didn't welcome you? What? Because dust is irritating to your feet. You cannot travel well if there's still sand rubbing off your feet. So you just have to brush it off and then move on.
Oh, I think it's also, though, Maya, to do with leaving the stuff, the dirt that belongs in that place, so that you go on. It's this, because I did spend a bit of time looking at the spiritual significance of this. It's like being slightly purified or created anew to go into that new place, as we were saying, without the baggage, without the dirt from that other place. And this starts to link us quite well to the more tricky first reading, I think.
Amos.
Amos. Well, the thing what struck me about Amos, he said, I'm not a prophet, nor belong to a company of prophets. I'm a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. Instead of calling himself a prophet, I was asked by God to prophesy. He did not take it on as his identity, but focus on the mission that was given to him. I think that's a very powerful statement or lesson I've learned from Amos, and that made him travel light. When I came into this, I am an academic, but I could just say, I did this because I had, this is the mission that was entrusted to me. Now God has called me into this work of ministry. That doesn't make me any special, but I was given this ministry by God to do, and not kind of cling to it as my source of identity and security. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Amos has got some real humility. I think I saw an interesting take on this reading that what we've got, the first part is Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, who's saying to Amos, get out of here. You need to go back to Judah, to your homeland, which is an interesting link to what we've had the week before about the difficulties in being a prophet in your hometown or in your homeland. But he's saying you need to leave Bethel and never come back here. So it's configured as an eviction notice, if you like. Get out of here. And then the part that you referred to, Maya, the second, next four lines, where Amos is responding. It's not in self-interest, it's a defense. I'm just a simple shepherd. I took care of sycamore trees, or but I've done this because the Lord's told me to. There's an interesting thing there that, we know that prophets, as we probably focused on in last week's readings don't always get listened to, particularly in their hometown, but he's been sent back. So he's been moved along too. It's really interesting to me that God chooses the meek, the ordinary person as prophet.
Yeah.
Because Jesus himself is an ordinary person. Yeah. Yes, Margaret.
Yeah, no, well, I was, I just think you've got to love Amos, right? Because there's all of these chapters ahead of the one in today's reading where he's prophesying to the fat cats in the northern kingdom, and they're about to go into exile. Of course, they don't know that. So we kind of have this morbid fascination of it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. So we know that the kingdom's going to fall and that the rich and powerful are going to go into exile. And then as you said, Kate, about that very annoyed priest, right? And he's accusing Amos, and I think in a way he's accusing Amos of spouting corporate BS, because he assumes that Amos is a professional prophet, so he would say that sort of thing, right? But Amos explains his background. He's just this poor farmer from the south, right? And he's come to preach to those rich men north of Richmond, if you remember that song from not so long ago, because the Lord made him do that. And so he comes up to tell those fat cats that their self-indulgent way of life and their neglect and oppression of the poor was coming to an end. And that, I think, ties in really beautifully, actually, with the entrance antiphon that we began with, because God's justice is about to shine, on the land, and the rich are going to get their comeuppance, which is a bit of a worry when you're a well-off person. It's this kind of thing, I think, is something that's supposed to worry us if we're well off.
And Amaziah called him a visionary, so Amos could see what was happening, right? And often we don't like being told, the truth, or we're scared of what might come, and we don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Agreed.
How about the second reading? The second reading seems to be the promises
Ephesians.
Of...
And we've got two versions. We've got a shorter and a longer version. Yes.
It kind of itemizes or proclaims what's the graces that await someone who've embraced discipleship, that God does provide. If you travel light, then let go of what you think you need for the journey. God provides, and God blesses, and even extols.
Yeah, and I think even more than that, Maya, and so it's about those of us who have listened to the good news, right? So we did welcome those who came and visited our town. We, in the sense of listening to the good news, and it's just such a beautiful hymn in Ephesians, like thanks to the Father who chose us in Christ, chose us before the beginning of time. Chose us because we've listened to the good news, chose us to be holy. It's just, it's so, so beautiful.
Beautiful. Mm.
So I picked up on the sense of being chosen too. I think that's, and destined in a way. That's all. Mm. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accord with the favor of his will. But, being blessed, having every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Don't always count our blessings, but the modern thing for many of my friends, who tried to do a good job of bringing up their kids, has been to do a round of gratitude at the table in the evenings, or before the evening meal or during it, or and I know that gratitude journals and all of these things are a sort of a secular, perhaps often, way of counting blessings, trying to focus us on the good, because good can breed good. Goodness can breed goodness, I guess. It takes us out of ourselves and out of that hole we can perhaps build for ourselves. So I'm always tempted to go, Paul's giving advice to the church at Ephesus, and I'm always tempted to say that along with the being chosen comes the responsibility. I think if Father John O'Connor was here, he might say, with being chosen, it's not a responsibility, it becomes a desire to do the right things. Yeah. But doing those right things all the time is not easy. And
No.
that's our humanity. It's, we've been given free will and we can make some unfortunate choices. I'm thinking, where we might go with some takeaways. But well, we haven't quite looked at the psalm. Is there any thoughts on the psalm? Some people, really, I know through Homily Studio, John Kinder would be one. He's a singer, but he always loves the psalm. Did the psalm sing to you, Ida?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And those the middle pericope of that of the responsorial psalm, which is verses 10 and 11 of the psalm, are just my absolute favorite. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace
Oh.
shall kiss, truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. It's just so gorgeous. And when I read through the whole psalm in preparation for this morning and realized that for the responsorial psalm, they've pulled out kind of the gushiest verses in that psalm because the whole psalm is really, it's filled with a desperate longing for restoration and reconciliation. It has lines like, Lord, will you be angry with us forever? And when I checked out my Catholic introduction to the Bible of the Old Testament, I saw that this group of psalms kind of come out from the time of exile, right? So hence that longing and wondering why. Well, Amos told them why, but wondering why we're living through these decades of having been torn away from the homeland.
I like the way you say it, Margaret. And when you read, reread that part, it's very poetic. And yeah, it really speaks to our hearts, isn't it? Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
I'm loving the fact that in
The
my parish we're actually reading the whole psalm. Well, no, we're not reading the whole psalm. We're reading the excerpts that we're given in the lectionary, but we're reading them as a congregation together,
Nice.
rather than doing this, verse response thing. That works too, but actually, I think we're all engaging them in them and hearing ourselves in that poetry a little more. And having that refrain coming back and being part of it is a way of getting to know the Psalms a little bit better rather than just having them read to you.
Yeah, something that struck me ever since I've been a reader at masses is the realization that the scriptures, I think, are written to be read aloud, to be said in a
Be
way, not
proclaimed.
to be proclaimed. Yeah, absolutely, because they take on a whole life of when you say the words rather than just kind of read them in your mind. And
Yes.
amazing.
Yes, this, I'm also a reader and have been probably since I was about 10, so many, many years. And I think if I can, to read them out loud at least once or twice, it's a little better because though they're nicely placed on the page in lines, sometimes you can get more meaning coming through by, adding in a comma somewhere or
And
ahead. But here we are with some
for me, when
lovely
I read,
bits.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, like whenever I hear the psalm, for me, it speaks the prayer I cannot say or wasn't able to say. Like it puts into very good words what my heart is praying for. Like, let us
Lovely.
see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Isn't that what we all ask for?
Lovely. Do we have, as our time comes to an end, some some takeaways. John would say, if you were delivering a homily, what would you be saying? Now, I never presumed that I would be delivering a homily. What would I like to hear is the way I think of it. What could I relate to? What could I take away from this?
Well, for me, I just like to I would focus as a there are a lot of takeaways for me personally. And probably it's just for the sake of landing our little sacred conversation here. I have three takeaways that we I was able to draw from the gospel, and which finds connection with the psalm, the first reading, the psalm, and the second reading. The first is to serve with community, with and in community, not to go on our own and ask for help. That is go in twos, when Jesus said go in twos. Second, to be a disciple is to travel light, and for the reasons that reflections we have just given, give space for God to provide, give space for the God who will journey with us. And lastly, with all our good intentions, giving every bit of our life, our energy into the mission, the reality is we cannot win them all. And that's all right.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, I wish I'd stopped and thought about writing down some takeaways. I forgot that was part of what we do here, but just thinking about everything we've talked about, I think that we have to take Jesus seriously. I'm struck by how often things he's said, or that are in the Gospels that kind of come out from Jesus' mouth, makes me think that he has in the back of his mind Psalms or something from his scriptures, like the Old Testament. When I mentioned right at the start that to me, kind of the overall theme of all of these readings was, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So that's Psalm 95. And so that's one of the invitatory psalms from the Office of Readings, right? So we read it, we can read it every day. A takeaway for me is something that confused me for years and years, and I never understood why that psalm finishes with, for 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. And then I took an oath in my anger, never shall they enter my rest. And then you sit with it, well, thanks be to God, I just think that we have to take Jesus seriously, that he was an Old Testament Jew. The Old Testament was his scriptures, right? And I think they're in his mind when he tells his people of his day the things he says. And so when we tell people of our day, our people of our day, the things that Jesus said, the Old Testament still counts. And what we don't actually understand God, or we don't understand God. If we think we do, then it's obviously not God that we understand, right? So we have to listen to these. We have to listen to the warnings.
You're listening to the warnings. Yes.
Especially if we're
And
flat.
I agree. I've told the story before. My late husband used to say, if I was God, I'd get bored with all this praise and glory and stuff that people were supposed to be giving me. Well, the point is that we're not God. And there's ways of giving praise and glory that are through our lives. And I think, Mark in the gospel is using Jesus's words, and but also telling us to, I think Paul's saying you're chosen, and then we're seeing from Mark how we go out on that mission. We travel light. That's hard. How do I make myself available for this mission, to do God's work? And to me, what might that mean? Well, maybe less tied to material goods, less tied to a place, less tied to an identity, more open to moving on. when we have to move on, when it's time to move on. So, yeah, I think there's plenty in these readings that you could take in lots of different directions. But I do love, Margaret, your banging the sandals together, and that image will stay with me because I always saw people sort of shaking their feet behind them.
Doesn't work.
And that might work. Yeah. So we need to bang those sandals together sometimes and leave something behind.
And you know what? You can't make people like you. And so Kate, you and I, well, and actually in Maya too, right? As people who are in charge of people, and in business, we're not supposed to try and make people like us, actually, as leaders. You can't make people like you, and you shouldn't try. So do what you have to do and do it well, but don't hunger for the
But
being.
to me, all of those things need to still be done with kindness, right? And sometimes things are quite final, but really you don't wish anybody any ill. So there we are with readings that could take our listeners into a variety of different directions. And I've just, instead of the collect, chosen the final paragraph in some explanations or some commentary on this Sunday's readings, and I've turned it into a wee prayer. It's from Father Kevin O'Sullivan, OFM. So, while we thank God from our hearts today for having been put on the road to heaven, let us remember in our prayers our fellow people, God's other children, who are trudging along through the fields and hedges. May God continue to show his mercy and divine understanding toward them. And I've added through our actions towards them. So I'm trying to pull together there the sense of our having been chosen, but realizing that there are other people who are finding life difficult, and perhaps even some of us, but relying on God's mercy and his understanding, but also our role in helping others to be God's hands and feet here on earth. Thank you,
Amen.
everyone. And from all of us, we wish you all the best for the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.